Welcome to Authentic Networking, and what we're going to talk about today is a way, kind of a more natural way to do networking that I've found works well for me, having also tried the sort of what I consider traditional ways. And what I wanted to start with is just to think a little bit about what the word networking brings to mind, and you can just kind of be thinking about that. I did this class a few weeks ago, and the biggest thing I heard were comments like, you know, I don't want to intrude on other people, or I feel guilty interrupting people, or a lot of question about being concerned about their motives, or how do they interact with people in a way that feels more comfortable and more consistent with what they think of themselves. So that's really what we're going to talk about today. Were you guys both able to get the slides for the talk today?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you look at great. If you look at the one on slide two, there's a couple of photographs there. And on the left, that's a still from the movie The Pursuit of Happiness. I don't know if you guys saw that a few years ago. It's the story of a guy who was a single parent to his son there on the left. And it's a real inspiring story of how he went from being homeless with his son to becoming a real big successful stockbroker. But that thing he's carrying around in his hand is some kind of medical device. And in the opening scenes of the movie, you see him frantically going around to all these doctor's offices and hospitals trying to sell this piece of equipment. And he'd been working for a company where he had to buy these up front. And so he was desperate to make money. And so he was tense, he was sweaty, and he was going to call on people who weren't really confident in what he had to do, what he had to sell. And then, in fact, the one that would have kind of gotten him over the hump and let them stay in a house didn't work when the product wouldn't work for the demo. And I think a lot of times especially when I think about networking, I think about the sense of, you know, tension and having to see somebody who doesn't necessarily want to talk to you and having to convince them of something. And it's really kind of a, you know, at worst, a real negative sense. And I guess at the minimum, something that's stressful and anxiety inducing. So that's kind of the left image. And on the right is a photograph of two friends who are having lunch in a cafe in Paris. And, you know, when I think about meeting up with an old friend I haven't seen in a while for lunch or for coffee, it's a completely different feeling. You know, when I think about that pursuit of happiness, I get kind of a tight chest. But when I think about sitting down with a friend, it feels relaxed and more open and just comfortable, less stressed, more natural. You know, the conversations with my friends, you know, we'll just talk, and sometimes I'll get going with people and spend a couple of hours catching up with people and talking about all kinds of things. And it's just a completely different sense. And so the goal of today's discussion and today's seminar is to give you a new way to look at networking so that it feels more like the two friends sitting together having lunch than the Pursuit of Happiness guy going around and trying to push medical products. And so, so let's just see, just talk about logistics for a minute. The call is definitely meant to be interactive, so feel free to jump in and ask questions at any time. I am recording it so that you can download it later and listen to it if you don't want to take notes. And also just use your first name since we're recording it. And then say who you are when you make a comment so we all know who we're talking to. And if you don't have a mute on your phone and you want to mute, you can use *6. And then when you want to unmute, just press *6 again. And then I'll have the recording up on the website by Monday. And I'll send you another note so you can download it. Okay, so what my plan is today is I've got these slides that we're going to go through. And I've got a little bit of content I want to go through with you. I want to talk about kind of where you guys are with your networking and what that means to you. We'll start with that. I want to take you through some of what I think are the really kind of pernicious myths about networking that people have, and talk about other ways to think about those that maybe are a little more effective. And then, so that's the first part. And then I want to get really into this concept of authentic networking. And there's some tips I can give you for the whole kind of process of authentic networking. So we'll get into that. But what I really want to do is kind of tailor it to your needs. So we'll go through these basic concepts, and you can take that away as a guide for later on. But then what I'd like to do is spend a lot of the time talking about examples. And so I've got a couple I've put in here that we can go through. And then I'd love to get ones from you that you think of during a conversation or things you've been wondering about. And then we'll just brainstorm how you would approach that through an authentic networking type approach, and then maybe even do some brainstorming on how you can get started. So that's the plan for today. So let's just start out. If you guys, what I'd love to do is have you just introduce yourself, to say your first name and maybe where you're calling from, and then tell like one rule or something you think about networking that the first thing that pops into your mind when you think about that word or when you think about having to meet new people. So you guys want to start? Maybe Tom, you go first.
Okay, fine. Yeah, it's Tom here in Charlotte. And done a number of things. We're retired now, and over the last 7 years, I got into a network selling organization. We had no knowledge of it prior to getting into this, but got some results on the products, and as a result of that, over time, just started doing the business and found different ways in the community to really get out and to do some things which we thought would be helpful to people in the area of specifically weight loss and better health. So in any case, we've tried a number of different networking areas, both my wife and I, and we do some extensive types of networking. It seems like when I say networking, there's so many different definitions of it. I like the idea of authentic networking, which is probably the reason I signed up for this, because you like to be in a place where you're thinking everybody's kind of on the same wavelength, that you're not trying to, sell somebody something that they don't want, and you're not trying to listen to some pitch from somebody who's got, a horrible product for sale or horrible service, whatever it might be. So the authentic part of it really appeals to me. But when I keep using the word networking, all kinds of things pop into my mind, and going back to days when it's just kind of new to me in a way. Networking with something in mind here, other than trying to help myself. Okay.
Yeah.
In the past, I think networking would have been what's in it for me type of a deal, and basically going back to when I was in the financial industry, working in Wall Street as a trader, and an awful lot of networking after hours in the bars and that sort of stuff. And I don't know whether that was networking or not, but everybody was in there, regaling, telling, stories about this and that and everything else. And it was all about who could impress whom. And to me, that was the kind of networking that I just thought was god-awful. And then I found another kind of networking later in the area of a chamber of commerce sort of stuff. And I thought that was awfully fluffy. But, didn't know much about it. So here I am, several years later, finding myself in a few networking groups, and I mentioned BNI as one that we've been in. My wife has been several, and I do a lot of things in the church and a couple of other groups, but in other organizations and other associations, the tennis club, the homeowners association, and this sort of thing. And I keep getting confused as to how to be authentic myself. So I guess that's the part. I go from, thinking that other people are not authentic to wanting to be authentic. And, that's me.
Okay, great.
That's
great.
Can't get clearer than that, I guess. I don't know.
No, that's great.
But that's where I feel.
Yeah, no, that's really great. We'll hit on all those points.
Okay, great. Yeah,
that's really good.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, sure. So, Simon, you're up next.
Okay, great. My name is Simon. I'm actually in San Diego. I really don't have too much to add to what Tom said. Basically, everything he said mirrored the reason I'm here as well. For me, it's more, I do a lot of sales, business-to-business sales. So, any time I can find a more enjoyable way to maybe do sales.
Yeah, sure.
For something like networking, there's always that classical approach, which is very hard and, I find it very draining. So if I can, learn new techniques just to make it more enjoyable, a little bit more easier, and maybe just, you know, more effective to develop, you know, relationships which aren't just all about business. And, you know, it's kind of like the two slides you have, you know, going from that left side to the right side, you know, that's of interest to me. So, but basically everything Tom said is applies to me too.
Okay, great. When you said the sort of classical approach to sales, what does that mean in your mind?
You know, a lot of the cold calling and, you know, the introduction with just, you know, about the products and the company. And being less about yourself, you know.
Right, okay.
Less authentic,
okay.
Basically, like you're saying, Al.
Yeah, okay. Great. I know what you're talking about. Okay, super. Well, thanks for that. That'll be helpful, and that'll help me kind of guide our conversation. And like I said, just jump in, because the best teleseminars are the ones where I'm answering your exact questions, and you guys are here, so we'll make sure to do that. Okay, well, let's go through. I mean, you guys hit on I think everything except for maybe one point I want to hit on, these kind of what I call the myths of networking. So if you go to slide number 3. We got the picture of the traditional cheesy used car sales guy there. And this is the what I think of. Tom, you talked about the Chamber of Commerce kind of events, which is, I think of those as you come into the big hotel room and, you know, you have drinks and everybody trades business cards kind of thing. And to me, that's similar to this kind of used car salesman mindset, where networking is thought of as a one-time event, like I'm going to go and see how many cards I can get or how many names I can get. And it leads to things like, you know, having an elevator pitch, and I have to convince somebody in 30 seconds that I'm interesting, or, they're going to move on, or their eyes are going to glaze over, or they're going to think I'm an idiot. And I never have, even though I love meeting people, those kind of situations really always kind of turn me off. And so what I realized is the reality of people who the people who are really successful have lots of relationships and know lots of people, is that they treat networking not as a one-time event, but it's really a process. And so, you don't come in and meet a girl at a bar and expect to ask her to marry you right then. I mean, you date. You might meet somebody, and it's like dating. You take it a step at a time. And you can't expect overnight success, but it's the kind of thing that if you do a little bit of and in the right way, it builds on itself and can create kind of its own momentum over time. So that's myth number one. Myth number two is that cold calling is networking. And this is Simon's classical kind of approach to doing that. And I think same kind of thing, that I don't think it works really well. I think it doesn't set up. It doesn't set you up to have really good relationships with people. And I don't think there's no reason to do cold calling. And I'll talk some more about how you get around that and how do you find people, because a lot of times cold calling is about generating new leads and adding to your list of people that you can call on. So what's a better way to do that? And then the third one that I've heard some people talk about is that they kind of have the impression from people who sell books on networking or sell chamber memberships and that kind of thing, that it's kind of like networking is the business equivalent of sort of eating your vegetables. It's just something you're supposed to do, and everybody feels like they should do more of it. And if you don't, you'll never be successful and that kind of thing. And so I definitely think that's a myth too. I actually think that if you don't have a good reason to be networking, it's hard to be really effective at it, and that it makes it more likely that you're going to have the kind of uncomfortable forced situations where you feel like you have to act like somebody else if you don't have a good reason. So these things just don't work. And I think that I just wanted to call them out particularly because I think they're particularly ineffective. And those are the things that cause the most pain when we want to be more ourselves and find a way to make networking something that feels like the kind of lunch with a friend. Slide 6 there kind of sums up the counterpoint to those myths. So it's, you know, instead of networking as a one-time event, we can treat networking as a process. Instead of cold calling to try to meet new people, just realize that you're only a few degrees away from anyone, and that if you can find out a way to make good contacts with people, that you're really only a few degrees or a few steps away from anybody. So you don't really have to cold call into people who are like target prospects. You can start with people that you already know and are comfortable with and build on that basis. And we all know those, and we'll talk about some ways to find those people later on. And then the counter to that third myth that you can't be successful if you don't network on the time is that, you know, I really found that you shouldn't network unless you really need something specific. And so we'll talk about how do you make something specific and what does that mean in a minute. Okay, so slide number 7. The core of what I call authentic networking is really generosity. And so it's really the opposite of what Tom was talking about in the Wall Street bars after hours, or the kind of what's in it for me and how much, you know, better am I than you and that kind of thing. It's really backwards from that. And this was the thing that I learned that made it much more comfortable for me to network. And what I found out was not only is it a more comfortable way to approach networking, it's also been fantastically more effective than these other approaches too. So it's a double good thing. And so the question is not, what do I need? It's, how can I help you? So obviously you need something, and I told you to do that. But the perspective that you want to have is one of kind of really more of a partnership with the person that you're talking to. And so instead of, like if you're looking for a job, feeling really needy and kind of lower than this person who could hire you, you, with authentic networking, you're coming in with a perspective of what can I do to help this person, even if I'm below them. So for example, a couple months ago, I was meeting with a guy, looking for doing some networking, looking for some new consulting clients. And he's a pretty big name in our area. And, it wasn't clear to me that there was anything that I could particularly do to help this guy out. His name's Mike. And so, But what I did before we met was I sat down and I thought about what he does for his business. He's a venture capitalist. And I looked at who he'd invested in, and I thought about people that I knew. And then I thought about other things I knew about him. I know where he goes to church, and I know something about his kids and that kind of thing. And so I really kind of primed the pump in my head so that when I sat down to Mike, that I really approached it as just a chance to really catch back up with an old friend and think about things that I could do for him that could help him out. And as it turned out, when we got together, one of the things I hadn't anticipated was how much interest he had in the old company I'd been in and my old industry. And so there were a number of things I could help him with deals he was looking at doing to help him understand better what some of his risks were. So, and I don't know that I would have been ready for that if I hadn't done that kind of prep work ahead of time. So that's one example of how you can help somebody, and we'll get more into that when we do some examples later on. So can you guys relate to that? I mean, think about a time when you recently just caught up with somebody you know for coffee, or you went to dinner, or called an old friend, or got an email. I the types of things that I do. You know, I talk to somebody and recommend a movie that they might go to, or I know a restaurant and they're looking for a restaurant, or my brother called me to see what kind of iPod he might get for his family, or what kind of computer, that kind of thing. I mean, we do that kind of thing all the time. And that's, to me, that if you do that, if you're doing that, you already know how to do networking. I mean, that's really what networking is those kind of helpful gestures you make to other people without any expectation in return, just because you know something and you genuinely want to help somebody out. So think about a time in your own lives recently when you've offered some advice to someone, a friend or whatever. Can you guys think of some examples of that?
Well, nothing comes to mind for me right now.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of something.
Yeah, that's all right. But you can relate to, sitting around with people at work or whatever, and people are talking about where to go to lunch, or you have a client in town and would like to know what are the fun things to do in San Diego, or, you know, if I asked you where are the best bars in San Diego, you could probably tell me that.
Yeah, I think I gave somebody a restaurant recommendation a couple of days ago, actually, and that's a pretty common one for me.
Yeah, and so how do you feel when you give somebody a recommendation and they like it, or it works out for them?
Well, you know, I feel good. I mean, it's very satisfying.
Yeah, and I think you know, you think about it a lot of times, that's common, right? I mean, when we're able to really help somebody with something that they need,
right?
It's a real positive experience, and it's actually kind of a gift to you, you know. I mean, that you get to do that, and so that's one thing too to keep in mind when you're letting people help you, is that when they can help you specifically with something that you need, and you seem like a reasonable person, that's a gift to them. So that's the kind of that's the mind frame. And if I could take away one thing from today, that's the biggest mind frame, is how do you get to a point where you come into every meeting with somebody new that you're meeting with a sense of, what can I do today to help this person? And be it, you know, a piece of advice, something related to their personal life, something about their business they might not know, whatever that is, how can you be of service to them, even though you need some help coming in? So let's go to the next slide. And what I did was I just kind of have a list here of the kind of each stage, if you wanted to break out what are the different pieces of meeting someone and building a relationship with them through a first kind of meeting. And so I want to talk about each one of these, and I'd love for you guys to ask questions as we go through these, and I can help. We can help. I think maybe some examples from you guys of a situation you're in, we could brainstorm, and that might make it more personal. So let's talk about the very beginning and the most fundamental thing, which is why are you networking? So it sounds like both of you guys, one of the main outputs of your efforts are to get new customers through sales with Simon and Tom. You're looking to, is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
And so that's common. That's perfect. And so you know what your ultimate goal is of networking is you want to have new customers. And when I talk about getting specific, I think getting new customers sometimes is if you keep it up at that level that you just want to get new customers, it's a little bit hard for people to help you. So getting customers is one example. Other things you might do to network for, you might be looking for a better job. You know, you might be looking to learn something new in a new industry you want to go to. You might just want to figure out what kind of bike to buy or what school to send your kids to. There's all kind of reasons you might do this, but let's stick with the selling kind of aspect for now. And so I guess let me ask you guys some questions. And so when you think about who you're selling to and what do you need to do, are you guys pretty clear on the sort of ideal people that you would talk to?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So how would you describe that, Simon?
Well, for me, it's, you know, it's a decision maker. It's a buyer which has the power to make a decision. Was that what you meant, Al?
Yeah, that's exactly what
okay.
I meant. Yeah. And so it would be a buyer in.
Yeah, for me, that's who I want to be on the phone with. That's who I want to be networking with. Of course, if an assistant buyer or someone like that takes me to that person, that's also, you know, valuable to me as well.
Right. Okay. And so when you think about a buyer, and you know, I mean, just for my sake, so what industry is it? I saw your LinkedIn profile, so I know, but you would be able to tell me if you say, Alan, you know, I want to meet people who work for these companies or
sure.
this type of place and that kind of thing.
Right.
And so like I might say, like I do some consulting in my old industry, and I might say I work with venture capital funded small technology companies who have really strong engineering but not much business expertise, and they're trying to launch their first product, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps people help you find things. And one thing I found too in the being specific piece is that sometimes, especially if you're trying to break into maybe a new market that you're not in now, mm-hmm. or maybe you work with one kind of person, like say you've worked with women and you want to work with, you know, executives now or moms at home, and now you want to work with business people. One of the things that I've found is that you have to kind of that what you're asking for can kind of evolve over time. So you might I think for me a lot of times the hardest part is when you're just kind of getting going and you don't really know how to ask for what you want or you don't know how to describe it well enough. So I remember a time when when I was trying to change jobs from a industry that I'd been in for a long time that was very technical into one that was more about consulting and related to human resources. And I just didn't know enough to know what to ask, but I knew I needed to talk to people to make progress, because I didn't network. I'd never really learned the detail about what jobs were available and what kind of background they would need and what would I need to do experience-wise to break into this industry. And so what I did was I went out and found ways to describe a person that I would want to meet. And so the way I did that was I would just kind of make something up. And even though I didn't really know what I wanted, I would go out and like look for the companies who hired in that industry. So in this case, HR consulting, say. And then I would find examples of people they were hiring, different jobs they were hiring. And I'd use those as sort of a template for what I was looking for. And so I would say it was a leadership development consultant. And then as I looked at what kinds of things those people did, it started to give me a better picture of who would I need to meet with in those kind of companies, and like what language do people in that industry use to talk about that? You know, do they call them coaches? Do they call them consultants? Do they call them analysts? You know, who are the people that I need to talk to? And so what I would do is kind of have a working definition of what I was looking for. And I would make it as specific as I can. You know, I want to meet somebody, you know, who's an early manager, who's come into the company recently, who's worked with this type of their client, and what I'm trying to, and then a reason that I want to meet with them. We'll come to in a minute. But does that make sense to you guys? That sense of you need to be specific about what you're looking for, so that when you do talk to people who can refer you to other people, that they know where to send you. Because if I just said, oh man, I really want to get out of technology, and I think about working in HR, you know, and if I meet somebody at my church or in the tennis club or somewhere else, they're going to have a hard time directing me if I hadn't taken the time to break that down into something that I could go do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So that's the first step, is that you got to have a specific thing that you're looking for. And that's why it's not good to just kind of randomly network if you're not really trying to do something. Okay. And then the second one is that this idea that you don't have to network, you don't have to cold call people. You really don't. And then you're closer than you think to other people. And we're going to talk about LinkedIn in a minute. And I call this a 3 degrees of Bacon. And I'm kind of playing off the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game that you guys might know about. Kevin Bacon can be connected through 6 movies with like some huge number of other actors. And but it's really kind of named from my experience my brother had. And he was moving from another city into Charlotte where I live. And he really didn't know anybody here other than me and a couple of other people. And he happened to know the minister at the church that we went to. He was the father of my brother's roommate. So that was really the only contact he had coming into a new city, but he really wanted to move here. And the other kind of complicating factor was that he was hoping to make a career shift too when he moved here. He was working in a small town running a chamber of commerce, and he wanted to get into more into nonprofit management. So he did a similar thing to what I talked about. He'd done enough talking to people to get the names of some jobs that he was interested in. So he had that specific piece. And then what he did was he just met with me, and he met with the 2 people he knew, me and this minister. And the minister recommended a few people who knew about nonprofits in town. One was a headhunter, and one was somebody who worked for another funding agency in town. And so he met with them. And as he moved along and was able to talk more and more clearly about what he was looking for, he met a few people. And, well, what ended up happening was the person who he met from the minister knew a person who ran a different kind of nonprofit agency, who knew a guy at one of the local universities who was looking for a marketing manager to help him with this nonprofit that he had. And so Doug, my brother, got his job that way, 3 degrees from somebody he knew. And so Doug didn't have to cold call all the nonprofits in town. And if he had cold called these people he met with, it's unlikely that he would have gotten much response to them at all. And if he did, I don't think they would have been willing to kind of put their credibility on the line to send him on to the types of people that they did. But because he came through somebody they knew, he had that kind of air. He got to borrow their credibility and make it more comfortable for them to send him to the next two people that could help him out. So, you don't, in addition to the fact that you're close as you probably need to be to these people you want to meet, you're also much more likely to get good kinds of meetings and good kinds of referrals if you start with people who trust you and know you somehow. So, and it turned out that my brother Doug stayed in touch with the number two person in that 3 Degrees of Bacon. And they became friends over time, and ultimately she ended up hiring him away from that job to a better job that he's still doing now. So we'll talk about LinkedIn too, which is a good way to brainstorm that if you don't see the obvious path, sort of what you want to do right now. Okay, so then the third kind of tip is to really be prepared for the meeting. And this doesn't have to be a lot of time, but it's important to have what I call a credible reason for meeting with someone. And there's two parts to that. One is the credible part, which means that that you are somebody they are willing to talk to, and that they don't see you as the used car sales guy. That they have some reason to believe that you are going to be of some value to them too. Kind of that how can I help you piece. So there's a couple ways to do that. And then the other thing is the reason. I mean, it has to make sense for them to meet with you. If you're just calling up people hoping that they'll come and talk to you, but it not being clear that there's some – that it's logical you meet with them. It wouldn't make sense for me to go talk to my doctor about meeting other venture capitalists in California necessarily. And then credibility, we talked about one way is kind of borrowing it from other people who introduce you. And then the other piece is how do you present yourself to the people you're going to meet with? So I just grabbed two emails that I'd done recently to people who I was meeting with. And this is the one that's called, I call it email setup meeting. If you see that one, do you guys have that open?
Yep.
Okay. And so this is one that I met, and I was just reconnecting with people that I had known in the past. And this is the actual email. I just took the names out, and you can fill them in yourself like a Mad Lib or something. But I just kind of want to go through the pieces of this. The first was that, I'm real clear about the fact that I'm asking him for something in the very first line. What do I want from this guy I'm sending the email for? And what I want is to meet with him for coffee for a brief meeting and re-get to know each other. So I go ahead and ask for something in the first line, and I'm making it really clear why I'm getting in touch with him. And I put that in the subject line. So he sees a name that he knows, and he's going to open it. He's going to look at it because he knows this person and they have a good relationship. So then I have a little bit about me to give him some background on what I'm up to. And this is another kind of credibility thing. I knew this guy also was an investor in that community. And I had been in this company before where we had two investors who I know he'll know because they're well known. And so I just put them in there too. That just boosted my view that I'm somebody worth talking to in there. That builds credibility. And then I talk about some of the big things I've done. And then in the third paragraph is kind of going right to, what is my reason for meeting? And it's that I'm looking for some additional clients for next year. And I think he's somebody who might know people that I could help out. And so what I say is I was hoping to meet and share notes on what's going on. And so I say that's my offer to help him. And that, hoping to meet and share notes wouldn't necessarily mean much to different people, but for somebody like him who's an investor and who also is somebody who has to network a lot and likes to know what's going on, I know that somebody like me who's in his general field, who's talking to a lot of people, then that's the thing I can probably bring to him that'll add some value to him and help him out. And as it turned out, when we met and I found out more about his fund and understood what he was doing, I have another friend who owns a kind of company that he wants to meet. So I was able to connect those two guys together. So that's kind of a credible reason to me. There's sort of no reason that this guy wouldn't at least send me an email back and tell me he's too busy, or I'm going to get a response from this, and probably we'll be able to at least talk to him on the phone. If not, sit down with him. And in fact, that's what happened. So how does that, does that make sense? Is this, and tell me if I'm being too low level for you guys, if I can go faster.
Sense. I'm surprised in a way that it was such a short communique. I mean, three short paragraphs basically got right to the point. There was no great prose or anything of the such. It was just very much to the point. And I think that speaks to the fact that nowadays when people open an email, if they open an email, they'll lose interest in it after the first sentence or two. And if they see a long email, they'll probably just put it someplace and never read it. So that email appears to be exactly fitting for the purpose with which it was intended and should get results. I find that very interesting. I'm going to shorten mine from now on.
Yeah, no, Tom, I think you brought up a great point that I didn't mention, and that's exactly right. It's people are so busy and they don't look at things. And if you don't even write the subject line right, I mean, you could write the wrong subject line and your email will never get open because they won't think it's something they have to respond to. And so I always make a point to put in there the name of somebody they know, because they don't know who I am necessarily at this point either. So so that's a great point. Okay, well, so you get your meeting, and you're going to go talk to this person. And the other piece is, there's another piece of preparation that you should do. I talked a little bit about how to think about ideas of how you could help them. So that was one example for that type of person. But the other thing you can do nowadays is you can just Google people, or you can look at their company website. Those are two good things to do. If they're on LinkedIn, you can look them up on there, or Facebook. And what I do is just try to catch anything about a person that I see that makes me curious. And I guess I'm a kind of a curious person anyway. But I think another way to be authentic in real time in a meeting is, you set yourself up for being authentic by thinking about how you can help them. And if you can stay in that helping mode, like Simon talked about, and you feel good when you're in that mode, and you're comfortable, you're confident, and you feel like you're being your best person, I guess, when you do that. So you set yourself up for that by doing this prep work of just brainstorming or a little bit, even if it's just 10 minutes before you go to the meeting, just jot down on your notebook some ideas you have. So that's prep work. But then when you're in the meeting, one of the things I've found too that works really well to show that that you really want to help them and that you care about them as a person and not just in a business way is just to try to stay curious. And if you could keep in mind like a little like the little kid in Jerry Maguire, if you remember that little blonde kid who just asked questions nonstop, or little 3 or 4 year old, why is this? Why is that? What are you doing? Why do you do that? People love to talk about themselves, and they love, and if you're really interested in what they're saying, it goes a long way towards starting to build rapport and trust with people. And so if you can see something about them on Facebook, a hobby, if you can see a company where they used to work that you know something about, or if it's an industry type thing and you know something about their company that they've done well, or Simon, I was looking at your background, and I have your notebooks at my house, so I'm sitting here, wow, I'd love to know more about how do you source those in China, and how does the industry work, and how do you, beat out the other guys and all those kind of, I can think of a lot of things I'd be curious about. And so ask them about where they're from, what do they do? The key, though, is you have to be curious. And so the other piece of that is that it needs to be something you're really interested in. So it's hard to fake that, But it's the other kind of thing that's kind of, it doesn't take much time to prepare for, but it's the kind of thing that if you just sit down for a few minutes and think about and write some of these things down so that they're on a card or they're in front of you, when they come up, you're ready to dive right in and ask those kind of questions. So that's that. Be curious in the meeting, in the moment, is kind of the key for that. And then after the meeting, I think we all know it's good to send a thank you email or a thank you note and that kind of thing. That's a common thing. But what I found is that there's an additional thing you can do on top of that that really will cement you in their mind as somebody that they'll remember for what you talked about. And that is this the feedback piece of that. So the other email I sent you guys, or the other downloaded little PDF, was the follow-up email. And this was from another meeting I had. And again, it's just a really short, quick email back. But this is probably, I sent him an email after we met and said, you know, thanks for meeting with me and introducing me to these two people. And, you know, I'll stay in touch, something like that. So this is maybe a month later on. And I had made contact with somebody else. He had recommended to me. And so I just wanted to get back to him. And this is the feedback piece, which is, you know, I talked about this person. In this case, he had given me the name of somebody else who's an attorney in town that he really relied on for advice and thought of as somebody who was a really kind of wise business guy, even though he's a lawyer. So I told him I talked to this guy today, and he was just as you advertised, very wise. He gave me some good ideas and a couple of other contacts, and you know, thanks again, and just reminded him that hopefully we're going to meet in person. And so it does a couple of things. One is that I'm showing him, I'm expressing my gratitude to what he did for me. I'm showing him that I followed through on the time he took for me, and that it helped me. So he gets to have that little gift of, he feels like he really did some good for me in connecting me to this guy. And it's been another month. So it kind of reminds him about me, and he might think of some other thing we could do together. And it reminds him of me in a real positive kind of context. So if I call him again, you know, and I want to go visit up in his city, I think the chances are good that he's going to remember me and say, oh, yeah, I remember you. You were the one who wrote me back. So I found that approach of kind of – I actually keep a spreadsheet on this of who told me about which people so that I can go back and refer back and remember to do this kind of feedback loop to them.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and it's just simple. It's fast. It didn't take me 5 minutes to do that. And it's just something I just kind of put it on a list to do right after I do the thank you note to the other person. And then the other thing is, if you can, when you meet somebody and you have a good meeting and they say, you know, you really ought to meet my friend Tom and Aaron, you got to meet these guys, you should do it right away. And I don't always do this. A lot of times I'll wait. And what I found is that the longer I wait, the less likely I am to go ahead and call the people, and the more nervous I'll be about doing it later on. But if I do it sort of in the afterglow of a nice call with somebody, when I've still, I don't know, something about having the goodwill of those people and you're still in that up mode, that if you just go ahead and send those emails right out, that you're going to be in a better frame of mind to set up a positive interaction with somebody. It's kind of hard to explain, but I just have found that to be disproportionately effective compared to the amount of effort it takes to do it. But I don't always do that. So let's talk a little bit about what you guys want to talk about. I've got this. I want to show you some stuff on LinkedIn that I think is pretty cool and that I haven't seen a lot of other places.
And just real quick on the LinkedIn thing, I started using that a couple of days ago. I had no idea anything about it, but it really is amazing. So I'm really interested to know a little bit more about that, Alan, too.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, we'll talk all about that. I can answer whatever you want about that I know. For me, a lot of times, and you guys tell me if this is a problem for you too, a lot of times the hardest thing I have is getting ideas of people to talk to. Like I get stuck at the sort of first step, which is how do I have enough people to talk to so that out of the 100 people I talk to, I get the one sale or whatever. And so a lot of times I need ideas of people to talk to. And so I use LinkedIn as a tool for generating ideas. And I'm going to show you that first because I think it's just a really powerful powerful tool. I mean, it's designed to be a networking tool, and it works well for that, but you can use it for this too. This is kind of a different use for it. So go to slide 11, if you will. And Tom, you use LinkedIn, right? I connected with you right before the call.
Yeah, I didn't read the email that you sent me a couple days ago. I linked up with you.
Yeah, have you done much with it?
Let me see what I've got here. I think I've got about 60 contacts. I mean, I just basically started, and I don't know what I'm doing.
That's cool. I'm just trying to get a
group,
sense.
The same way with Facebook. I have 82 connections.
Okay. Yeah, Facebook.
Of which I guess you're.
Yeah. The simplest way to think about Facebook and LinkedIn is really a business context, and Facebook is more about friends at the highest level. So, but let's talk about LinkedIn for a little bit here. So what I did was I kind of took two scenarios and just kind of walked through what I would do to use LinkedIn as a brainstorming tool for these. And so the first one we're going to talk about is looking for job ideas. And so, you know, the scenario here is that I'm tired of working at my company and I want to find another job. And so one thing that I might do is just look for people who work at a company I'm interested in. So what I did was say, okay, let's say I want to work at Bank of America here in Charlotte. So what I did was I typed into that little search people box up top. You can put company names in there too. And so if you type in Bank of America there, and then go to slide 12, what you'll get back is, so I got 1,353 results for Bank of America. And they start with, the way they rank them is they start with people who are sort of two steps from you. So that means like this guy, Brendan Urban, I'm connected to somebody who's connected to him. That's what that means. And again, what I use this for is more of a jumping off point than anything else. So when I put this in, what I did was, if you look kind of on that right bar there where I have those arrows pointing to it, what I did was at the Bank of America was a search, and then I limited it to, say I was looking for a job here in Charlotte, so I clicked that so it would take out the other people. So those are only going to show me people who live here. And then I picked people who are either a first connection to me or a second connection, because I figure that way it'll put people I know more up towards the top, since there are so many results there, because I worked there for a while, so I know a lot of people there. So when I look down this list, what I'm going to look for is who are some people that maybe I'd known but I'd forgotten about, or who are some people who work there? Like when I was doing this, getting ready, I found a guy who works in for information technology consulting here that I know really well through church, but I never knew what he did. And so just when I was just searching for IT companies, I realized that, hey, I know this guy, and he'd be happy to talk to me about what he does, and so I'm going to follow up with him. So it's a brainstorming technique. It's a jumping off point. You know, you see where people are today. You got some names of people you look for, and you can filter it down to the city. So that's one way to look. If I wanted to get into a company, a particular company, you could do that. All right, then if you go to the next slide, which is slide 12, another thing you can do is find people that you knew in the past. So if you're looking for a job, you might want to find all the old companies you worked at. Where are your old coworkers now? Because there will be people – those are people that you sort of know. So the theme here, again, is let me start with people that I already know. So what you do is instead of searching for a keyword, I just pulled that out of the blank, and then I put in the company name, Bank of America, and then you can pull down something that says whether they are currently employed there or whether they worked there in the past. So we said past. And then I'm leaving the location anywhere. No, and then I refined it to Charlotte because I would say I want to live in Charlotte. And then I think, let's see, what's the next slide here? Okay, so I was moving in something else. And so what I can do then is what I found was I got this long list of people who now, some of them have moved on to other banks, some of them are working for smaller companies, and this gave me ideas of maybe other companies where I could go work, because there are people that who have worked where I've worked, done similar things to me, who have moved on to other companies that are hiring, and so that gives me ideas. So does that, you guys kind of get the flavor of that, at least, that how you can start to dig in and just find people that you know.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's a great way to look for the again, especially if you're trying to, you know, reconnect with people who are really good. You can search if Simon, if you're starting out, I would look for anybody who works at companies you used to and start connecting with friends. All those things help. So then I did another one and said, this is slide 13. So this is for you, Simon. I just found out. Yeah. So I didn't know how to pronounce that. Apparently it's pronounced Moleskine. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a weird name. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a competitor of yours. And so what I did was I said, well, say I wanted to learn something more about your industry and who's there. So the same thing. I want to get into, selling paper products. Pick a name of a big company and put it in there. And these are the first results that came back for me. And when you look on there, just on that screenshot that I have, you see Erica Lee is the second. So I'm connected to somebody who's connected to Erica. And you see she actually works for Urban Outfitters. And it turns out she's a buyer there. But she had done some work, I think, at Moleskine earlier. So that's why she came up on here. So it searches for people who work there now. But if it's in that people zone, it could be also people who used to work there. So then we got Jackie Weiss, who's in a group that I'm in. And so groups are things you can join. You can join alumni groups, places you've gone to school. There are industry groups you can join. There are all kinds of groups. And when you're in a group, it lets you see more people. So that's a good reason to do that. So there's Jackie, and she's in sales. And then there's somebody else who's a consultant. So let's go to the next page. And I think what I did – yeah, okay. So you can choose a contact. And what I did was I think this is jumped ahead. Okay, so slide 14. If you click on choose a contact, and if you guys are on a computer, you can try this. So just click on one of these people, and on the lower right-hand side of the page, what they'll show you for is other people who have looked – the people who have looked at this particular person, who else have they looked at. And so that what this tells you is people who are in a similar, probably they're in a similar role or they're in a similar industry or that kind of thing. And this is a good way that if you have the name, say Simon, of a buyer or like maybe a salesperson at a company that you want to talk to, and you search for the salesperson, they have, those kind of people a lot of times will be out on LinkedIn and stuff. And when you look at their profile, it may show you the name of the person you really want to talk to here. So here's the president, Marco Beguin, or however you say it, the president of Moleskine America. So if I wanted to find the president, now I know what his name is, and I can click on that and maybe see some other people who know him. So again, it's a tool to generate kind of ideas. So I might think, oh, wow, I didn't, there's this guy, Anthony Rossi, he's doing custom editions, he's doing something different. Emily Kaufman, maybe in a different industry. And if you want to meet people, you're looking for people who know people and that kind of thing, it'll show you who they know and that kind of thing. So that's another trick. So then on page 15, I clicked on that woman who's the director of network relations at Moleskine. And one thing that to look at when you look at these is see how she has 322 connections. It says there in the middle. So she's somebody who is really probably intentionally making a lot of contacts with people. And what I have found is that a lot of times I'll use LinkedIn like this when I'm doing a consulting project for a client and we're doing market research, and I need to go find a lot of experts in different industries. And what I've found is people like that with a lot of connections are often really open to connecting with people if you have a good reason, maybe more so than somebody who has 50 connections who's just connected to their friends. And so a lot of times those are people who are in marketing or business development where networking is part of their job. And they're people who are networking is part of their job also tend to be just more open to kind of helping you out with that. And so I might try to connect to Laura or just call the place and ask for her number or that kind of thing. And again, what I would do before I contacted her is say, think about, why do I want to talk to her? Maybe for my case, I might be looking at how do I incorporate my book into that format or something, and I'm looking for contacts who do custom Moleskine products or something, or custom notebooks, and so, or I'm looking for sourcing, and so she might be somebody. She would probably be the wrong person for that, but she, since she's a good connector, I might say, hey, I found you out here. You know, I love those notebooks. I'm a big fan, and I'm trying to use them for something else. Do you know the person there who does, who's the buyer or of those kind of things? And a lot of times, that'll be enough for her to introduce me to somebody else who can be more helpful. And then I've got that little bit of credibility because Laura has sent me on, and it's just not me kind of calling them. So that's a good way to find people. And then those are the kind of people who are easier to sort of get in touch with, even if they're not the right people, you can start with them. And then, okay. So then on slide 16, this is her, Laura's kind of also, I kind of also viewed that little section. And the cool thing about her is because she works in promotion, she's got a lot of names of people who are contacts of her that are in other industries or could be customers of her. So if you know, I were Simon and I was competing with her, this might give me some ideas of – it gives you a little bit of insight into what are they doing as a company. And you could think about why is she talking to these people, or maybe they're people that you want to talk to. And so – you know, you could take these names if they're appropriate, and you put them on a target list for you. These are people that you'd like to meet. And again, going back to that point about being specific, you know, when there are people that you'd like to meet that work at a certain company, that again is a way that people can help you real specifically. You could be looking for people who know Nancy Sobota, who works at Samsung Mobile, for example. Say you wanted to meet with her. Then if you meet a sales guy from Samsung or you meet somebody else who's worked there, you can be working to get closer to Nancy and get a chance to meet her or find out how you could get in touch with her. So it's a really I think it's a great tool for just helping you find people without having to do a lot of hassle and getting enough information about them to kind of do your prep work to meet with them. So, you know, so do y'all have any questions about that?
No. No.
No. It started.
Yeah, very simple, yeah.
Yeah. It is pretty intuitive.
Do you guys, what I'd love to do is just do some brainstorm with you guys now. I mean, what's a situation you get into in networking or something that's happened recently that I could help you with? Maybe we could think of a different way to do it or some ideas about how you might approach it.
You want to go first, Simon, or me? Or?
You go first, Tom. I'm going to try and think of one.
Okay. Well, yeah, I look at networking as a, you know, as an opportunity to meet people. I'm not particularly outgoing, I guess you'd say. I'm not a friend of mine that defines introvert and extrovert as extrovert, one who is energized by being around people, and introvert is one who is enervated. And I don't know where I stand in that, but I'm not too excited about being around people. I never have been. But this is a business, and life is a business. I mean, in a sense, I've been around a while now, and I'm beginning to think that maybe there's something about, building relationships with people that it's really a good idea. Once gave a, not very long ago, gave a little seminar about how to live to be 100. And basically, you know, we kind of presented an hour course, but it was all about eating right, moving your body, and building relationships. You know, somebody else might have one or two others. I've seen different patterns, but that relationships is something that's, you know, I've got some good friends going back off a long time, but relationships are something that I'd like to do. I'd like to.
Yeah. So
I don't mean to wax poetic.
No. I totally agree with you. I mean, I think at a minimum, I agree with you. I think humans are kind of, we're like pack animals. We're kind of like wolves. We're built to be in community with people, and we don't get a lot of that these days. So I completely agree.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that relationships just bring a lot of richness to life. You know, the more people you know and the more people you come in contact, I mean, I learn something from everybody I meet. So I totally get that. So,
yeah,
you know, one thing.
When I'm in a group of people, I still have, you know, I feel it right now, that the tension of wanting to, you know, get a point or make a point or do something that's seemingly worthwhile. That's not always there, but in my particular business, you know, what I have to offer is perhaps for most people better health, just plain better health. It's like being a doctor, and I'm except for being out there and having people see as an example, I'm kind of at a loss as to how to network without feeling the pressure that you've described of every time you're out there feeling like, well, you know, you got to make something of it. You know, what's in
it? Yeah. Well, a couple ideas maybe. Well, like one is, I think you have, so did you give the seminar on how to live to be 100? I missed that when you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, are you comfortable talking in front of people?
The answer to that is, you know, I've done enough of it so that I can do it. I'm comforted by the fact that people who do it as a profession, actors and people who get up on stage in front of other people, have told me in the past that they're uncomfortable every time they get up there.
Yeah.
Some aren't.
Yeah.
But I don't know. No, I get up there and I don't sweat. I don't feel self-conscious once I get going. I usually, you know, have some sort of a program or an agenda, beginning and end, the middle type of a deal. And even if somebody walks out of there saying he doesn't know what he's talking about, you know, I was in a fog. I didn't realize that, so it didn't bother me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a great way for an introvert. If you're doing it, I mean, you're willing to do that. And I think everybody gets anxious when they do that just because they care. It shows you that you care about what you're doing. And I think that that's a great way to warm people up to you so that you sort of attract people to you and don't have to be the initiator to go talk to them. Is if they see you talking, I mean, people are going to be, you're a known quantity at that point. I mean, you've just established your personality and your credibility with these folks. And I don't know how much, you know, another thing about kind of this Facebook and all these kind of things too, is that I think people have found that to the extent you can, that if you can work in stories about yourself into these talks and that kind of thing, that people can feel like they kind of get to know you a little bit. And that's another thing you might think about. I don't know what stories you tell in your seminars, but that's another way that people can feel like they know you a little bit better. And so I think that's a great way to get out and sort of get in front of a bunch of people. And you might, one thing you could do is give a talk like that and then just say, hey, I love to meet people. I love talking about these kind of things. If you'd like to get together and just have a cup of coffee, let's just meet. And you could just throw that out there at a meeting like that, and you might get a couple or three kind of invites of people that you could just talk to. And then you have your, you know, if you kind of go into that and that meeting without really an agenda other than, again, focusing on what do you know that might help this person out or that kind of thing, I think you'll find that they'll start introducing you to other folks.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you. It's helpful. Appreciate that.
I had another thought too. The other thing is when you think about the kind of stuff you're doing, what obviously you're passionate about that, about health and what make people well, you know, what do you like to talk about? What gets you the most excited about that?
Well, I mean, we do sparkle with a lot of true testimonials, starting with our own and then, you know, with those who are near and dear to us and folks who have had great results. I mean, we, you know, there's nothing like a good story or anecdote, as you pointed out earlier, to catch people. And these are true. I think that they're heartfelt. Then I have to remember that this is the type of thing, like everything else in life, for people who want it, not necessarily for those who look like they need it. You know, typically our focus is going to be pretty much on, the factors of metabolic syndrome or, you know, like a waist size or a weight.
Yep.
This is probably the most obvious, I mean, everybody in this country with an IQ above, 25 or something could be a doctor if they can just look at somebody and say, well, you look well or you look sick, because basically in most cases, not in all cases, but in most cases, it's fairly easy to diagnose a person's health by looking at them, even at a distance. So that's something that's a little difficult for me, in that, so many to help and so few who want to be helped.
Yeah, right.
It's not like Schindler. I mean, it's not like, yeah. But maybe it is, in the sense, if I get out there and talk to a few more people. But remember at the outset that I'm not one who likes particularly talking to people. So.
Yeah, well, another thing is, well, I don't know. Do you like to write?
No, not particularly. I mean, okay. I probably write better than I speak.
I mean, the other thing is, if you if you're interested in this area, and you look into it, another thing to do is try a blog or a newsletter or even get on Twitter and connecting with people. And the objective of those places is more to just give away information than to sell. And so again, it's more about telling your stories, inspiring people, so that again, people will just find you. They'll come to you and ask for your help because they see you as somebody who has something to offer.
Well, it's so noisy out there, Alan. You know that. I mean, internet,
yeah.
And everywhere else. It used to be, unwanted mail would come, and it's gone way past that. In many multiples of degrees, to all the noise out there, and it's very difficult, unless you do something which puts you on the police blotter or something, to get
yeah.
recognition nowadays. So we do that, though. We get out and talk to people, talk to groups, have workshops and have panels, and even in the case of the church. Write articles and have a web presence on the church as it is, with the health tips, which I think that the thing that I think those things are all well and good, and you keep trying to think about, well, oh, super, how can you force it?
Yeah.
It's just like we were talking the other day, watching some bird circle, the difference between, the hawks and the vultures. One group of birds will kill something, and the other group of birds, they'll get killed if they try to kill something. So they got to eat dead stuff. Well, some days you feel like, get out there and make it happen. And that basically is, how do you do that in an authentic way?
Yeah. I think it's the key concept is that idea of giving something of value first, be it knowledge or your story or inspiration or just something that can help them in a way that they'll remember you, And so if talking to groups, I think it sounds like seems like the thing that's working best for you, and you can add on to that some additional sort of context out of that, where you're attracting them rather than having to be the initiator. I think that sounds like a good idea.
Great. Well, thanks.
Yeah. Simon, you got any things we can work on?
Well, basically, I mean, it's strange how much I parallel Tom. So so some of the stuff you told him is actually very interesting and definitely helps me. In my industry, a lot of times I get invited to mixers and meet and greets at trade shows. Usually 9 times out of 10, I actually just don't go, just because I don't see the worth of it. And, basically just that awkwardness of going up to people you don't necessarily know.
Yeah.
Trying to find something to talk about, if you're not a very outgoing person, that's a very hard thing to do for someone. So, I tend to avoid it when I can. It's interesting because there is so much worth to doing that. And I think when you kind of stopped looking at it as being, maybe a test or something like that, then a more of just a social situation where there is no business involved, it becomes enjoyable, and I think anything helps your business. So that is interesting to me. And I think I'll definitely take that with me from today.
Yeah, and I think the other thing you can think about is just, what do you know? What are things that might be interesting to other people?
Right.
And one thing that I like better than the kind of cocktail hour thing is like a lunch with a talk or something where you just have to sit with people and people are just sitting around chatting at lunch. That's an easier way I've found to get in a conversation with somebody because you got something to talk about and everybody's kind of forced together. You know, I don't know if you know, other sort of people in your industry that are, you know, dealing with similar channels or other things. Sometimes that's another place to go where you can help. You know, you're both trying to get placed at, you know, Borders or something. You know, and you, there may be other people who don't compete with you.
I think it, you know, the interesting thing is it's very easy to become an island almost, you know.
But
it's interesting. It makes you realize really how you kind of self-isolate yourself a little bit too much maybe sometimes. So, yeah, that, I think that's what I've realized.
Yeah, good. And hopefully you've seen some ways. Hopefully you guys can take away some tools that might come in handy down the road.
Absolutely.